How many times have I told you? You know? They do something over and over again, keep making the same mistakes over and over again, and you end up saying, how many times have I told you not to do that? Or how many times have I warned you not to do that? You know, we do that because anything that's repeated over and over again has some importance to us. You know, my dad used to say that repetition is the mother of all learning. He had other things to say about it that weren't quite so nice, but that was the idea, that eventually you learn things through repetition. And there are some things that are repeated in the Bible, and I want to talk about two of them that are repeated in the Bible multiple times. And they have a direct application to Christmas. So I'm going to start off by asking a question. Please answer the question if you can. All of us have fears, right? Things that we're afraid of. Some are very rational fears. You know, I realize that when the terror attacks in Paris happened, the terrorist attacks in San Bernardino happened, that raises an element of fear within us, particularly here in San Bernardino, so close, and that raises an element of fear. We don't know what's going to happen. And we go into, you know, Kathy and I spent the day yesterday going from store to store and going in the mall, and after what happened in San Bernardino, you know, I know how I am. You know, she's shopping. I mean, no, she's hunting. She's a hunter when she shops. And I'm watching people. The hairs on my neck are standing up, and I'm on the alert. I'm watching for what could happen. And because down deep inside, I know that's a possibility in our world now. We live in a real world where that's really possible, even here. And that's a fear. And that's a rational fear, and that's okay. Sometimes we have that fear when you have a child that is out late at night, and it's raining, and it's gotten dark, and they're running late. And you begin to worry. You begin to have that fear of what's happening. What are they going to get home safe, and all of those kind of things. And we all have those kind of fears. But there are other fears. There's irrational fears. How many of you have an irrational fear of spiders? You can raise your hand. I raise my hand. You know, the preschool knows from many, many years ago. It hasn't happened lately. When the preschool opened, it was still sort of wild and rough around here. They knew that if they saw a snake, they could call me, and I would go take care of it. It could be a rattlesnake. I don't care. I'm going to take it. Do you have a spider? You're on your own. We were sitting at home last night. Kathy and I got home. We'd been gone all day. We'd been shopping. We were tired. We just finally sat down, football was on, and I was just finally just in my, you know, I was in my jammies, football was on, nothing could be better. And Kathy says, look, there's a spider coming down from the ceiling. I mean, it was everything I could do not to just crawl out of my skin and back up, you know. So I let it get all the way down to the floor, and then just, you know, are you going to pick it up? No, there's nothing left, babe, you know. Yeah, you know, so we all have those fears. Let me tell you something. The scripture says, do not be afraid 365 times. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Bible says, do not be afraid. Puts it in a lot of context. Do not be afraid. I'll always be with you. To Joshua, do not be afraid. Be strong, courageous. Do not be afraid. At Christmas time, every single time the angel showed up, we talked about Zechariah, when the angel showed up with Zechariah's offering, the offerings in the temple that special day, and the angel shows up in front of him, and the very first thing the angel says is, don't be afraid. Because I tell you, you see an angel, you know, it's not like the television show, you know, when you're touched by an angel and you just see this person. You see an angel in their true form, it's going to scare you to death. And he said, don't be afraid. He said, don't be afraid to Zechariah. He talks to Mary. Mary, don't be afraid. He talks to Joseph in the dream. Joseph, don't be afraid to take this woman as your wife. She was reading this morning. When the angel appeared to the shepherds out on the field, the angel appears to the shepherds, and they were scared to death. First thing he says is, don't be afraid. The scripture repeats that over and over again. And one thing that we need to understand, particularly now in our world, as it's becoming more and more a real issue, Christmas and Christ speaks to the issue of fear. because of all the things God doesn't want us doing is walking around afraid of whatever we're afraid of. We can be afraid of death. We can be afraid of financial loss. We don't know what's going to happen. I know for a lot of people, this year is a hardship year. This is the year where we get to the end of the year, we get to the Christmas time, and a lot of people are just barely hanging on. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. So much is riding on things that are going to take place the next year. And it could get really, really good. It could get really, really bad. Who knows? And that causes an element of fear. But God does not want His people walking around afraid. He wants them walking around in faith. Now, when I say that, that doesn't mean that we bury our heads in the sand. Because some people think that, okay, not be afraid, I just won't see it, not pay attention to it. God wants us to have situational awareness. I want to tell you right now in the world, if you're going out in public and you're a crowded place, you better be aware of what's going on around you. We're in that kind of world now. The world has changed. You know, the world has changed since I was growing up. You know, when I was growing up, the world was so different. When I was 8 years old, we lived in Columbus. We lived outside Columbus, Ohio. We lived 7 miles outside downtown Columbus, Ohio. And a movie came out that I wanted to see, and my parents drove me downtown, and dropped me off at the biggest theater in Columbus, because that's where they were, the only place they were showing that movie. Now, I'll even admit what the movie was. It was the original Parent Trap. Not the Lindsay Lohan one. The original one. Haley Mills. Dropped me off at that theater. I bought my own ticket, went in, and watched the movie by myself downtown. That was all well and good. Now, the kicker of the story is this. There was fear involved that day. Because they didn't tell me it was a double feature. That there was a second movie. Those days it was double features. You bought a ticket, you saw two movies. And nobody told me that. So the movie ended. I got up and went outside. Nobody's there to pick me up. I couldn't go back inside. But I knew that the street we were on, we lived a half a block off the street, that direction. So I started walking. And when my parents came to pick me up at the end of the second movie, I wasn't in the theater. In fact, the next movie started, Haley Mills' movie started again. They stopped the movie, turned on the lights, and searched the theater for me. Called the police, started the search. Finally came home. When they came home, I was just turning the corner on our street when they found it. Think there was a little fear there? You ever lost your kid? That'll do it. I was never afraid, but they were. See, we live in a world where that you can't do that anymore. I mean, your kids are taught in school, stranger danger, which is probably the worst thing you could teach them. Because 99% of the people will help your child and save your child. But we're so freaked out now. That's not how God wants us to see each other. That is not how God wants us to exist in the world. That fear is not there. He doesn't want us existing in that. He wants us existing in His presence, with His peace, and with His comfort, and with His joy, and with His strength. I grant financial things can be a real problem. And there are just times when you just don't know what's going to happen. I get that. Been there, done that. Still there sometimes. But God doesn't want you living in that fear. He would say the same thing to you today that He has said over and over and over again in the Scripture. Do not be afraid. Most of the times it says, fear not. And half the time it says, fear not, I am with you. Fear not, I am with you. Say, That's the key. The reason we don't have to be afraid is because God is walking with us. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and He lives in us through His Holy Spirit, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Fear not. I am always with you. You are never alone. That makes all the difference in the world. Because that means we don't have to face this by ourselves. That God is always present with us. Through His Spirit, through His strength, through His Word, God is always present with us. Now granted, it's always nice to have somebody with skin on next to you. But you can walk into all kinds of situations all alone because we know that God is with us. And we can do that. And that's the only way we can do it, because we know that God's presence is with us. Because I know as a pastor, hey, been there. Been called to the hospital in the middle of the night more times than I can count. Sometimes it was people in the church who just had an emergency and they're having something going on. Sometimes it was just a chaplain couldn't make it and they called me to the hospital and I didn't know what I was walking into. 9 times out of 10, somebody had died. Automobile accident or something. And they needed somebody there to sit down with the family and tell them. I'll tell you what, that'll scare you to death. Because you don't have to walk into that alone. There's fear that comes with that. There's fear having kids. Having kids is the scariest thing you can ever do. Because suddenly you have this little life. And for 18 years, it's going to depend on you. And how they succeed in life and what they do in life is going to be largely depends on you. Because what you tell them becomes their inner voice when they grow up. I want you to hear that. What you tell them, what you teach them, what you tell them becomes their inner voice when they're an adult to guide them in right and wrong. It's a scary thing. God says, do not be afraid. 365 times. That's once, you know, for every day of the year, God is saying the same thing to you. Do not be afraid. And He only says two things more than He says, do not be afraid. He says two things in the Bible. There's two phrases, in one way or another, repeated in the Bible, more than do not be afraid. Because do not be afraid is 365 times. And you know how many times it talks about God forgiving? 490 times. See, Christmas speaks to our fear. He walks into the room and says, don't be afraid. You don't have to do this. You don't have to be this. You don't have to be alone anymore. And then He says, and repeats it over and over again, I forgive you in Christ. Because He knows that freedom is in forgiveness. Freedom from our sin and guilt is in our being forgiven by Christ. We get forgiven, we get free, because that's what He sets us free from, that sin and that guilt and that fear of death and fear of heaven and hell and all that. That's what it does. It relieves us of that fear. That freedom comes from that forgiveness. But the freedom we need sometimes isn't so much the freedom of being forgiven. Most of us don't live in the prison of a guilt anymore. We sort of acknowledge that, but we live in other kinds of prisons. Prisons of bitterness and anger, where it's not a matter of God forgiving us, where we need to forgive in order to be set free. Forgiveness is the key to freedom. So He doesn't want us walking through this life afraid, and He didn't want us walking through this life like caged animals in our guilt and shame, or in our bitterness and in our anger. He wants us to let that go and to be known as the people who are forgiving and unafraid. Because when you get there, something wonderful happens. You get to the Apostle Paul. If you read the Apostle Paul, he's facing his own death. He's facing being martyred for the faith. He's in jail. He's imprisoned in Rome, waiting for trial. And they could very well, Caesar could just decide to kill him. Eventually, he does. But Paul is going, I don't know which is better, to die and go be with the Lord, or to stay here and help you. I don't know which was better. Because he knew it would be better. Because you take the fear of death away and knowing that we're forgiven, you can't stop that person. Negatively, we see this. We see it negatively. In the terrorism, don't we? You take that fear of death, you give somebody a powerful cause and you make promises to them, and they're not afraid to die. They know that when they do this, they're going to die, whether it's a bombing or they're going out with weapons and killing people. They know they're going to die, and they're unafraid because they're ready. They know they're going to die. You can't stop that person unless you take them out first. That's on the negative side. But I'll tell you what, it's just as powerful on the positive side. You can't stop a person who's unafraid and forgiven. You can't keep them quiet. They won't be intimidated. They won't be afraid. And you can't talk about Jesus around here, you'll lose your job. Really? Okay. You know, boss, Jesus loves you and He died on the cross for you. You can go lots of routes with that. You can lose your job. You can talk about Jesus, you can lose your job. No, I got some good news for you, things you can do, because constitutionally they really don't have the right to do that. You can fight that, but that's a different story. But you're unafraid. Because we get intimidated. In fact, next Sunday, I was telling Chris, next Sunday, when I start preaching next Sunday, I'm going to set the stage for talking about James, the handbook for hard times. I'm going to talk about the criminalization of Christianity in our world and in our country. How being a Christian is slowly becoming illegal. And that's taking place, and what's taking place. In fact, I was telling him one Catholic cardinal that I was reading, this is what he said. He's looking at the world today. Just this year, just a couple of months ago, Cardinal Francis George said this, "I will die in my bed. My successor will die in prison. His successor will die a martyr in the public square." Here. So you don't think Jesus telling you not to be afraid, to be set free and forgiveness isn't important? The world is changing as it's supposed to, because it's supposed to get really bad right before Jesus comes back. The Scripture says, for every day of the year, do not be afraid. And almost double that says, I forgive you. It's not in the context of Jesus. But the only thing that overrides and blankets all of that, because almost every time it says either one of those things, it says God's love is everlasting. It says that God loves you. That the God of the universe, the God who set all of this in place and all of this in motion, you know, no matter how you look at it, whether you look big at the macro picture and you look at go out in the desert and see all the stars at night and you look at how that, I was looking at a picture the other day on the computer and it was just this, in the sky, it was sort of a blank spot in the sky. So they focused the Hubble telescope on that sort of dark blank spot and they had this field of galaxies and there were hundreds of whole galaxies way out there. Beyond what we see as stars. And the God who made all of that knows your name and loves you. And His Son died on the cross for you. See, that makes us something special, doesn't it? That in all of this whole creation, God knows you by name. In fact, He says He knows the number of the very hairs on your head. For some of you, that's a lot. For some of us, we make it easy for God. But that's okay. God only gives you so many hair hormones. If you want to use yours growing hair. But you get the idea that God loves you and He knows you by name. He watches you coming and you're going. He's paying attention to you. Just like you watch your kids. You know, just like you watch your kids. I mean, you're always sort of aware of what you're... I mean, when they grow up, you're sort of trying to be aware of what's going on in your kids' lives, right? And when they're younger, you're constantly sort of watching your kids. You want to know what's going on, you know, and you want to do that. And you want to go, you know, hopefully you go to see your kids get stuff, you know, if they get an award at school, you know. We all know that every year your kid's going to get an award at school sometime. Every kid in the class gets an award at school. I hate to burst your bubble, but it does. It happens every year. I hope you're there when you see it. That's special. I hope your kid gets involved in things, you know, as they get older. sports or band or something where you can go and watch them out there and say, that's my kid. That's how God is with you. Every time you do something good, every time you do something positive, every time you do something forgiving or loving, every time you do something to help somebody else and to reach out of your own life and out of yourself and do something that's self-sacrificial for someone else, it's like God is up there going, man, look at the angels going, look, that's my kid. Did you see what he did? That's how God sees you. So Christmas brings us some important messages. Number one, don't be afraid. That's easy to say. I understand that. And you know, let's be honest, he says, don't be afraid, I'm with you. And most of the time going with that is be courageous. But being courageous isn't particularly the absence of fear. In fact, in battle, if you have someone that's not afraid, you really don't want to be around that person because he's likely to get himself and everybody else taken out. Courage is acting in spite of the fear. And doing what needs to be done. That's how God wants us to live our lives. And he wants us to live set free because we've been forgiven and we're willing to forgive. And he wants us to live wrapped in an envelope of love, knowing that there is nothing we have ever done, nothing we will ever do, that isn't beyond the scope of his forgiveness that he's already given to us in Jesus' death on the cross. It's already done. One of the most major conversions, one of the first major conversions after the big conversions of thousands of people on the day of Pentecost, the first time a true individual is converted, the first true individual to be converted and noted that this guy and his family came to the Lord in the book of Acts, is a Roman soldier, a centurion, who had been in countless battles. Not battles of shooting far away, but battles with sword, where you killed and it was all up close. The first major individual conversion of the New Testament was a guy, a professional soldier, a centurion. Well, that's powerful. And if he can be forgiven, you and I can be forgiven. See, that's the idea. So this Christmas, I want to encourage you. Take the message of Christmas to heart. Take it to heart. Don't be afraid. Walk in the freedom of forgiveness. And walk in love. And when you do that, God walks with you and in you and through you. Father, help us to get that message this morning. Help us to take that home. We don't have to be afraid. I know the world is going in downhill, and it's going to until Jesus comes back. It's not going to get better. But it doesn't mean we have to be afraid. Because we know you, and you're with us. And we've been set free because we've been forgiven. And we set free the people around us because we're willing to forgive them. And we know because of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, we know above all else that when you look at us, you look at us through the eyes of love. Father, if we can see this way, we truly, truly understand what Christmas is all about. Bless us to that, we pray in Jesus' name.